Okay, let's hopefully everything is on here. Let's get started. This will be somewhat of an unusual shiur. Not my usual Mar Makomo sheet that you have in front of you. And if not, I'll get more copies. Everything will be said in the shiur. But Waxman asked me to try to squeeze in into even one shiur. Lamaisa, well, the basic concepts, everything we need to know. Shemitah Bar Hashem has just started. You look outside and see the Panovich Rebbe used to go over to the trees where Shemitah and say, Good Shabbos, Good Shabbos, Good Shabbos. He felt the Kedusha in the air. So at least you know the basic concepts. Today will not be comprehensive at all in terms of the Mar Makomos. You don't have any Mar Makomos in front of you. I'll mention a few of them as we go along. But it's really more informational, just to be familiar with the issues, to familiar with the concepts that will come up this year. And those who are Zocha to be here next year will probably have more issues next year than there are this year. Though, there are issues already, not issues, there are just halachas that one has to already be aware of, already in the supermarkets, you'll already see certain vegetables with kusha shvius, but we will talk about it again, the basics. Again, after the, what you have in front of you is something I sent out to my shul a couple weeks ago, before Yantif. Again, general guidelines. This does not take the place for the next 6 months. I'm going to be doing Shiurim on Shabbos afternoon in the shul on Shemitah. This is just general concepts that people should be familiar with to at least know what to ask and to know, to have some idea of the questions that are formulated. So again, we'll do this. Hopefully at the end there'll be time for questions. And hopefully if there's time, there'll be time for some Divrei Torah related to Yom Kippur, Sukkot, etc. We'll see what there is time for. Again, Shemitah is not something to be scared of. You know, if somebody thinks about Shabbos, and somebody is just becoming familiar with Shabbos, then we can get the misimpression and think that Shabbos is a bunch of, it's just a day of no's. It's a day, I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't do that. And there are a lot of no's on Shabbos, that's true. But we also know that Shabbos is not about the no's. Shabbos is about appreciating the Kedusha that goes along with Shabbos. Experiencing Shabbos. Feeling Shabbos. That's what Shabbos is about. If we focus on the losases, all the things that we're not allowed to do, we're missing the point. Right? It's all about the Kedusha and the special elements that Shabbos brings. It's the same thing with Shemitah. You know, Shemitah, you know, this is the first year I have this chutz. This is my seventh year in Eretz Yisrael. I made Aliyah right after Shemitah. So this is the first Shemitah that Rosh Shlomo Zalman says that, a few days ago, I don't know if Rabbi Jacobson spoke about it, he said when you make Shechianu on the first night of Rosh Hashanah of Shemitah, you should have in mind to be Makabel Kedusha Shvius. Only once every 7 years you get to have that kavana. Because whenever you say a Shechianu, Rav Shlomo Zalman says, you should have in mind everything that Hashem has given you and done for you. We don't make separate Shechianus. But, you know, I'm so happy that Hashem did this for me. Most of them, I don't make it only a separate Shechianu. But once we're making the Shechianu, we can put into the Shechianu the special kavana. So you have kavana. Hashem, thank you for allowing me to be part of this year. Rav Rimon, if you want any sefer on Shemitah, there are many sefer out there. If you want to get one, Hebrew or English, it's Rav Rimon sefer. It's the from the Rav in southern Haratzion. His father-in-law is the Rashi of Yerucham, Rav Blumenzweig. You were in Yerucham a few weeks ago, I just heard. But that's his father-in-law. But he is the comprehensive guide to Shemitah. He tells a bunch of stories in there, but just to start off with one, there's a story there that he had a colleague from Chutz La'aretz that was taking a year sabbatical. And he was coming for the year, and he was all excited to be with him, and he was going to spend time with him. And all of a sudden, like 2 weeks before, the colleague calls him up in like a frenzy and says, I just realized, it's Shemitah this year. Should I push it off a year? Should I cancel it? I'll work this year, I'll come next year? It's like, I don't want to mess with all the issues and the challenges. Rav Rimon says, you're crazy. This is the best year to come. You have Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. You have a Kedusha Shvius. You have, it's all the Kedushas. Kedusha's Eretz Yisrael. I'm Yisrael. He says, Dafka come this year. We just have to like change our attitude. The more familiar we are, just like Shabbos, the more we're familiar with Hilchos Shabbos, the more comfortable we'll be. So do with Shemitah. The more familiar with the concepts, the more comfortable we will be. What we will not be focusing on now, which is a major area of Shemitah, is issues related to Avodas HaKarka. I don't think many of us here in the room will be working the land. That's for the gardeners to know, in terms of what one is allowed to do, what one is not allowed to do. The Torah has four meisim, four avos, and everything else are toldos. In Shemitah, toldos are derabbanan. There are four malachas d'oraisa that you're not allowed to do. You're not allowed to plant something new. Not allowed to grow something that's not there yet. Seed, zoreah. And there are certain Yisroel related to harvesting, hopefully we'll touch on. But we're going to focus on from the consumer's point of view. Right? Halacha l'maisa, going into stores, what do I have to know? If somebody has a potted plant in their yard, in their room, then you got to know how to deal with that, but we'll touch on that as well. But again, we're not going to focus on Avodas HaKarka right now. If somebody has questions about it, feel free at the end or afterwards to bring it up. And again, that is not what we're going to talk about, even though that's a major element for how we get the food. But we're talking about, okay, it's already in the store. Now I want to buy it. So what do I have to look for? What do I have to look for on the Tudah? What do I have to look for on in the different areas? Okay, so let's start. Number one, I'm just going to go through the list. It's not in any separate or specific order, but hopefully it covers almost all the bases that we have to be familiar with. Number one, any item that has Kedusha Shvius has to be treated with Kedusha. How do you determine whether it has Kedusha? We'll see soon. But there are fruits, there are vegetables. If something is deemed to have Kedusha, then you have to treat it properly with sanctity, which means the Torah tells us la'achla, right? Shvius is given to you la'achla. What does it mean? You're allowed to eat Perish Mita. Not only you're allowed to, the Ramban holds it's a separate mitzvah say daraisa. One of the mitzvahs that he says the Rambam forgot, in the mitzvah Sheshachach Man Arab, the Ramban counts a separate mitzvah say daraisa. What type of mitzvah say is it? Is it just like matzah? Every kezias I eat? Or is it just focus on the negative? La'achla v'lo l'schora. We'll get to business. Or v'lo l'ibud. I'm not allowed to destroy. So eating it is the positive of like not just like doing something that I'm not allowed to do with it. Le'ibud. So there's a question how to understand the Ramban, but he counts it as a Seren Mitzvah, that everybody here gets to fulfill this year, that maybe that you've never been fulfilled in your life. The Ramban holds, Kedusha Shvius. It's a mitzvah, it's not only allowed. But if something has Kedusha, eating it is mutter. Any normal usage of an item, eating it, eating fruits, eating vegetables, anything other than that, if it's an unusual usage, then you're not allowed to. So that has to do with, like, let's say somebody's not usually mashed and mashing it. We're not going to get so into that. It doesn't really come up so much for you in terms of preparing food. But in terms of, let's say I have an apple, Kedusha Shvius, and I finished the apple, and now I have the core of the apple. In most places that you'll go to this year and next year, in the kitchen of your host, wherever you go to for Shabbos, and you have to know, like, how to deal with the food on the table. They'll say, oh, this has Kedusha, this doesn't have Kedusha, and this has, you have to be focused, what's going on? Oh, I'm not, doesn't have Kedusha, it has Kedusha, I'm going to stay away from it. No, the Rabbatim is a mitzvah, just to know how to deal with the leftovers. If you're helping, like you should help, you know, bring everything into the kitchen and help clean it up, you have to know what has Kedusha, what doesn't. They will have a separate container in the kitchen, marked Kedusha Shvius. Rav Rimon, in the Sefer a few times, is very makbid. Don't call it the Shvius garbage. This is the regular garbage, this is the Shvius garbage. It's not garbage, it's Kedusha. So he says, Dafka, you should put it, we call it the Pach Shvita, but you should put it in a separate place, away from the regular garbage. You know, you have to put it in a separate container. Why? Because if I put, let's say, peels or cores that still have some good stuff on it into the regular garbage, it will get ruined faster, it'll become putrid faster than if I leave it by itself. So by putting it into the garbage, I'm destroying Teir Shvius, the Yadayim. That is why there's a separate container in everybody's kitchen. Leftovers from Kedushas Shvius produce, you leave it in there. You let it rot. Once it rots, let's say overnight, then it doesn't have Kedusha anymore because it's just rotted. It's not edible anymore. Then you can put it into the regular garbage. So that is step number one. If something, assuming something has Kedusha, so then it's a mitzvah to partake of it. But one has to know how to deal with the remnants, not putting it in the regular garbage bin right away, but putting it into a separate container, and then after it putrefies, whatever, the next morning, one is allowed to discard of it. There are different levels of chumrah. Some people like change the bag every morning. Like, you know, some say every 2 days, 3 days. Like, let's say if I put something into the shvius that was there from yesterday, it's going to make the stuff from today rot a little faster. Whatever level one does is fine. You know, every morning, every 2 mornings, whatever it is, but just to be aware of the concept. Number one, that's the Ramban. Number two, how do you determine the halachic year? Why is it that you will not have Kedushas Shvius fruit for the next couple of months, but you will have vegetables? So you learn a Gemara, and you're like, oh yeah, when does this Gemara come up? It's a Zeroyim Gemara. It's the first Gemara in Kedushin and elsewhere, that Yirakos or Basar Lakita and Peros or Basar Chanata. Vegetables go by. What year is determined? When they're picked, when they're harvested. That is why if you go into many stores today, you will see Kedusha Shviyas cucumbers. Where did that come from? Because they were picked since after Rosh Hashanah. Vegetables go by when they're picked. So that is why if they're picked during Shemitah, they have Kedusha Shviyas. Fruit, we'll get back to vegetables Baruch Hashem soon. Fruit go by when they chanata, when they ripen. So fruit aren't going to ripen so quickly right now, right? We're going into the winter. So that's why it's only the springtime. Fruit, the bigger issue is the next year. Next year is going to be the real issue for fruit, or the second half of this year, already it comes up. Esrogim, if you've done this in the Gemara, are a little unusual. But esrogim kind of have certain attributes to them, like vegetables. And this might apply to other citrus fruit also. I'm just talking about esrogim. Some elements like a vegetable, some elements like a fruit. So most assume that we treat esrogim like a fruit. But there are those that are machmir to treat it like a vegetable. That is why all the esrogim, kim'at, that you will buy, if you didn't buy them yet, for your dal and minim, they were all picked before Rosh Hashanah. Because we don't want to get into any questions about how to treat it after Sukkos. So that is why this year, 99% of the esrogim that you will find are not going to have Kedusha Shviyas. Why? Because they blossomed last year and they were picked last year, before Rosh Hashanah. When are all the esrogim going to have Kedusha Sa'aretz? Next year, because they're going to blossom this year, they're going to be picked, whenever they're picked. But Rova Poskim hold that you go by when they blossom. So next year, the esrogim, many of them will have Kedusha Shviyas, which means what? You could use them. That's fine. It's normal. The issue is after Sukkos. What to do with them? There's also an issue I'll mention. I'm not going to mention it later because it's not really for us. There's an issur of exporting Kedusha Shviyas fruit. So let's say there's usually, farmers in Eretz Yisrael that export all their esrogim. Are they allowed to export it if they have Kedusha Shviyas? Is the issur only if it stays there? Or what if you're going to send it back? What if they're going to be sent back to Eretz Yisrael afterwards? That's a whole separate issue. What if there's a company that relies on exporting for their livelihood? Many Israeli companies export. What if it's in the produce industry? They're very serious shilas in terms of what is allowed, what is not allowed. But again, we're going to focus on the consumer here for our purposes. So again, that is why fruits, when you walk into the store, most fruit that you will see today over the next couple of months will not have Kedusha Shviyas because they blossomed last year. They just weren't picked yet. Maybe they were refrigerated even. We live in a time of refrigeration. While the vegetables will be very soon. They already are. Related to vegetables, let's go to number three. A very serious issue. The issue that's called svichin. Svichin, literally svichin means aftergrowths. What does that mean? In the days of the Gemara, even earlier, there were many individuals that would bring vegetables to the store and say, here's the vegetables. They're like, wow, vegetables, that's so nice. Where were they from? Yeah, I planted them last year. Well, you did vegetables, you have to plant every year. Fruit, plant an apple tree, the fruit come every year by themselves, not doing anything. Vegetables, you have to plant every year. You go to a potato patch, you got to plant the potatoes, you got to plant the cucumbers. You have to plant every year. So in the days of the Gemara, there were some farmers who brought vegetables, and they said, oh, these are from last year. But they were lying. They really planted them in Shemitah. And Chazal said, this is pretty scary. Right? We need to stop this somehow. So Chazal said, there's an issur of svichin. Anything that is an annual, not something that comes every, that goes by itself, that is planted once and then it goes every year by itself. Anything that's planted yearly that grows during Shemitah on a Jew's land is usher to eat. Period. If I have a vegetable patch in Eretz Yisrael, and I don't do anything, I'm just a farmer. Let's say I have some vegetables in my backyard. I don't do any of the mechanics that we're going to talk about in a couple of minutes. I just sit home, and Shemitah comes, and my vegetables grow during Shemitah, and I'm going to cut them during Shemitah. They are usher to eat. Period. Does that have any vegetables? They're usher because we're worried that maybe they were planted during this year, because they only grow if there is human input. The gzeir is even without human input. Even if we know for sure, they grew by themselves. They grew by seeds that fell down. That's the word svichin. aftergrowths. They grew by themselves. Nothing wrong with them. That's the gzera. That's the gzera of smichin. It's usur even without human intervention. That is why vegetables generally are more of an issue than fruit. So how do you eat vegetables? So let's talk about exceptions to smichin. The first exception to smichin is fruit. Fruit is not included in the gzera. There was never a worry that somebody planted fruit, because you know what? Fruit grows by itself. The apple tree grows every year, even if I do nothing. That's why there's no issur of svichin, of eating it, because I'm worried they planted it this year. There's no gzera by fruit. It's only by vegetables, number one. Number two, there's no gzera on land owned by non-Jews in Eretz Yisrael. Because the non-Jews can do whatever they want. They're not mitzuvah in Shemitah. It's not one of the Sheva mitzvos. So if there are vegetables that grew on a non-Jew's land, you will go into a store and you will see on top of the cucumbers the sign that says Yibul Nachri. That means produce of a god, of a non-Jew. That's why there are vegetables there. Because there's no Isser of Svichin when it comes to a non-Jew's land. There is a machlokes, I'll mention it now, hopefully it'll come up later. There's a major machlokes between, basically, everybody against the Chazon Ish. Is there kedusha to produce that grows in a non-Jew's land in Eretz Yisrael? Is there kedusha shvius? Goes back to the times of the Beis Yosef and machlokes between the Maharit and the Beis Yosef. The minhag of everywhere except in Bnei Brak, minhag of everywhere except the place of the Chazon Ish, the minhag is to assume that it does not have kedusha. And therefore, if you get vegetables that are yibul nachri, it grew on a non-Jew's land in Eretz Yisrael, it does not have kedusha. Just throw out the remainders. Normally. That is the minhag me'ikar hadin. Somebody chooses to be machmir, that's their choice. But when you go to somebody's house, you're involved, there's no reason one has to go above me'ikar hadin. The minhag ha'olam is like the Beis Yosef. But again, you should know the Chazon Ish is machmir. He assumes that even if a guy owns land in Eretz Yisrael, it has kedusha during Shemitah, and therefore there's kedusha shvius. He doesn't have an issue to work the land. There's always sort of svichin, but you have to treat it with kedusha. So that is in terms of svichin. So whatever exceptions to svichin, fruit, items that grew on non-Jewishly owned land. I'll take the question in a minute. Items that grow from southern Israel is called the southern Arava. Meaning north of Eilat, between Beersheba and Eilat. Closer to Eilat than Beersheba, there are these major areas where they have planted vegetables for this reason. Because that area, according to the poskim, does not have kedushas Eretz Yisrael. Right? Many poskim say you got to keep 2 days of yontif in Eilat. Right? So therefore, the vegetables there don't have kedusha. So it was never included in the gzera of smichin, because there's no isurim there. So sometimes you'll see on the top of the there'll be signs. And generally, all the stores that have the tu'udot, there'll be signs exactly what everything is. They might say arava. If it says arava, you know it's from those lands. And therefore, it does not have kedusha. Probably some of these issues are more lamaisa for like girls who actually buy fruits and vegetables than boys who just give me the pizza. I have to get pizza with tomatoes. Anyway, but it's important to know. And also, just to mention something now, but again, it'll come up later. Items grown in what's called matzah menutak in Gush Katif, formerly those types of farmers, hothouses or greenhouses, totally indoors, not connected to the ground. We'll talk about that soon, but vegetables from there, which you'll see are packaged, that also does not have kedusha, therefore there's no way to sort of speak in there. But that's how. You walk into a store, why are there vegetables? Because they're from the non-Jewishly owned land, they're from a hothouse, they're from, you know, chutz laretz, that's another choice. Maybe it's coming from imported, from chutz laretz, chul. There's one other option that we'll mention soon, but let's... hold off on that for the moment. Okay, good question. Well, you mark like the Chazon Ish here, turning in the yeshiva. Is mark the kibbutz is mark like the Chazon Ish. Okay, I'm saying, but the minhag of Eretz Yisrael, many people that you go to, Me'ikar Hadin will pask in the minhag Yushalayim for years has been to be meiko like the Beis Yosef and the minhag of many. Okay, anybody any certain place? But so when you're in the yeshiva, you do whatever the policy of the yeshiva is, obviously. But if one is out in a place, you know, personally you can do whatever one is told to do. But in terms of being in public, you should know just this is the Minhag HaOlam. Yeah.
So does the Isur Svichim, you said it's just Isur, does that apply to your own Svichim? Like,
yeah, even your own Svichim.
But it's
Usur.
You don't have a Chashash there.
It doesn't matter if you have a Chashash. Once they make a Gzera, they make a Gzera. It doesn't matter if it's your own. Yeah.
So we said Svichim doesn't have Kedusha Shvius then.
So well, Svichim is also to eat. Whatever vegetables you've been able to...
So it's also Kedusha Shvius then.
Well, it has Kedusha, but you're not allowed to eat it, right? You just have to leave it. There'll be one that you'll be able to eat. We'll see. Okay, next. So let's get into some of the other options and key understandings to... again, I'm sorry I'm not going into the Marmakom, but we could have a shiur on each of these. We could have a shiur on Svichim, and we could have a shiur on Heter Mechirim, and we could have a shiur on a few shiur on these. But again, they asked to just to give like the basics before Rabbi Nazmanim, so we're just familiar with all the concepts. Heter Mechirim. Heter Mechirim. So the Heter of Mechirim, the allowance of selling a portion of Eretz Yisrael, a halachic remedy for allowing, in quotes, certain activities to be done. We're not going to get into what the certain are, but there's a machlokas, you allow even malachas daraisa with a guy or malach darabanan, but to allow certain activities to be done in the fields during Shemitah after having been sold to a non-Jew according to strict Israeli law. All right, this goes back already in the 1600s. We find this in the Acharonim, but it really came up, lamaisa, 130, 140 years ago, in the second half of the 1800s, when the Yishuv started coming back. And at that time, as is known, it was very, very difficult if the farmers wouldn't be able to, you know, be in their lands and support themselves. And the whole Yishuv was in danger of collapsing in the 1880s, 1890s, all of them. So every 7 years, there was an issue about trying to understand and see if there was an allowance to sell a portion of Eretz Yisrael, just like we sell other, not like just like, but we find concepts of using halakhic mechanisms in cases of need, whether it means selling one's chametz, whether it means, again, all of these are a separate topic. We shouldn't be compared, but I had to iska in terms of lending with interest, but certain types of halakhic mechanisms that are built into the system to use in certain situations. So, you know, that is a major controversy relating to the Heter Mechira. Many halachic issues. Does it work? Like, according to the Chazon Ish, even if you sell it, you know, it still has Kedusha. Right? That's what we just said. Even if a non-Jew is fully a non-Jew's land has Kedusha. Does the sale work? What do you mean, does the sale work? So there are poskim. The Tzim discusses this, the Chazon Ish also, that the sale might not even work. Why? Because you're not allowed to sell a portion of Eretz Yisrael. There's an Israel called Osachanim, Abodazara Dafkaf, that you're not allowed to give a foothold to the non-Jews in Eretz Yisrael. This is a daraisa, and you're going to make somebody a shliach to sell your land, and you shliach the barabera, the whole thing falls away. So there are a group of poskim that say it doesn't work. Period. And if it doesn't work, what? If it doesn't work, so then when I see Heter Mechira fruit, if I'm served Heter Mechira fruit by my cousin's house, so I start screaming, oh, no! What does it mean for me? It means that the farmer was not allowed to work the land. We paskin that does not aser the fruit. There are some rishonim that paskin that asers. We don't paskin that way. We paskin that ne'evad or shamur is mutter b'di'evad when you have the fruit in front of you. So regarding you in somebody's house and you're served Heter Mechira fruit, there's nothing wrong with eating it because the iser is on the farmer. The iser might be in terms of the store, in terms of buying it. But when you're served it, there's no iser. And therefore, once it's there, but again, the issue is, can it be sold? There are a number of major poskim as well. I'm not going to go into who's on various sides, but many poskim say that it does work. We're not saying it's the best choice, especially now, you know, where is it really mamish, such a tzorach gadol mamish like it was 100 years ago, that the economy would drop? Yes, some farmers will say yes. As other farmers, Baruch Hashem, we live in a time where many farmers are saying, no, I don't need to rely on it. It is a reliance. And for on a national level, where many farmers might not do anything if you don't give them this option, you know, Baruch Hashem, we live in a time where the Rabbanu does take care of. Many farmers wouldn't keep anything if we wouldn't have this option. So this is the option of Heter Mechira. Many poskim assume that it does work. What about the Israel of Losachanim? You're not allowed to give them a foothold. So the poskim say back, the Yeshua's Yaakov, I think, says back, This is just the opposite. The Israel Zechanim is not giving them a foothold. If you don't do anything during Shemitah, that's going to give them even more of a foothold. You're giving them a little piece of land here to keep your foothold in Eretz Yisrael. Don't look at it in the narrow sense of selling. Look at it, what's the time, what's the whole point of this mitzvah? So again, these are all major halachic issues which we can talk about at a later date. But that is Heta Mechira. Me'ikar Hadin. Me'ikar Hadin. Again, according to most poskim, Heta Mechira, excuse me, most. According to many poskim, the sale does work. It's a legal sale, and they have it in the Taba, in Yishlaim, they have it in the legal documents. And assuming that it does work, then it's a non-Jews owned land. And if you assume, like we said, the minhag of most of Yisrael, again, if the yeshiva itself is not for like the cousins, that's fine. But just to be realize that the mechira fruit would not have kedusha. If one wants to be machmir to treat it with kedusha, fine. Depends on your own, personal. But meikar hadin, there are many that say that one could treat it without kedusha. And if you're in somebody's house and they say that, to put it in here, to put it in there, you don't have to make a big fuss about it again, where you are in such a situation. Okay, so that's one option. Hetzer Mechira that you might see. Hetzer Mechira, fruit. And again, if you want to buy something, from a store with Hetzer Mechira, not to get into, if you assume that it does not have Kedusha, then there's no issue in terms of the purchasing it. Next issue, Otzer Beis Din, number 5. What does Otzer Beis Din mean? This is based on a Tosefta, in the Sefer Shvius. We don't do it exactly as was done then, but the basic idea of Otzer Beis Din is where Beis Din takes control of the field. In the days of old, it was mamish, the farmers gathered all their fruit, they're walking back into the city, and Beis Din says, thank you very much, they gave all their fruit to Beis Din, they gave the farmer 3 days worth of food, and 3 meals worth of food, and they were the achrayim, they were the responsible parties for all the fruit of Shemitah. So Beis Din owns the property. If Beis Din owns the property, there are certain activities that you could do on the land, according to the Tosefta, that otherwise would have been forbidden. Certain Yisurim of Shemitah only apply to your land. But if you're not the Baalim anyway, it's Beis Din. Just like Prusbo, right? Beis Din can collect loans for you. So here, Otzer Beis Din, they are really the Baalim. How does that manifest itself here? Bizman Hazeh, Otzer Beis Din, where Otzer Haaretz is one example of a big Beis Din. There's Rav Efrati has. There's many different Otzer Beis Dins that we have today. What basically means is that a Beis Din can control the land, and then they hire the farmers to work their land, because after all, they'll know it the best. But it's the farmers working Beis Din's land, which in other years was their own land. And that's allowed. They'll know exactly what they're allowed to do, what they're not allowed to do. And any Otzer Beis Din fruit, what's the mile of Otzer Beis Din? There's no reliance b'dieved on Hetzer Mechira, if you assume it's a b'dieved. Number two, you get to have Kedushas Peros. Fruit from Otzer Beis Din fields have Kedusha. And there's no way sort of speaking if Beis Din owns it. That's why if you see Otzer Beis Din, but it has Kedusha, so you get to fulfill the mitzvah of eating Kedusha Shvius. And what about the money that you pay? The money that you pay is looked at as payment for the services that are given to you. The work in the field that the farmers give you. We'll touch on it a little bit later. I'll mention it now. There's an issur to do business with Peros Shvius. So here, you're buying, you're selling. The answer is, by Otzer Beis Din, Beis Din's going to take that money that they get and pay the workers for the service that they did. You're not paying for the fruits. And that's why it's, according to many, the best option. If you have a choice, of Otzer Beis Din, Heta Mechira, according to many, it's the best option, because again, it helps support the farmers that are really trying to keep Shemitah. It allows you to partake of Shemitah fruit and the other related issues. Yeah. No, if a guy owns a field, if you hold a Heta Mechira, good question, if a guy owns a field, then it's the guy's land, and then he would be able to, there's no Gezeir of Sifan on his land. Right, so if you see Heta Mechira vegetables, that's where it comes from. But the difference is, would it have Kedusha or not?
Also,
No, one is a Jew's land, one is a non-Jew's land. Oh, there are certain more limitations by Otzer Beis Din. You know, you're not allowed to do anything you want. It's the non. No, there's certain limitations. Yeah.
So kind of along the lines of our question, why would any farmer choose
Het Mechira is simpler. The Rabbanu takes care of it. It's there's Het Mechira. There's it's more wide ranging. There are different. That's a problem that some poskim have. The Chazon Ish and Rav Kook both liked Otzer Beis Din. They both supported it. The problem that some poskim had, or Yashav had this problem, is that Otzer Beis Din produce should cost less, not more, because you're just paying for the work, you're not paying for the fruit. But it happens to be there's a lot of service, and to set up this whole arrangement sometimes costs money.
But it doesn't sound all that complicated, this whole arrangement.
Say, but it's still a cost, and there's not always everything available in the Otzer Beis Din. You know, like Otzer Beis Din does not allow you to plant, like do certain malachas daraisa. You can't plant new. So Otzer Beis Din a lot of times runs out.
But they're just playing economics and playing supply and demand to make money at the end of the day.
I don't know. It depends who's in charge. I don't think some of them set a price at the beginning of the year on what it's going to cost. So you see, it's for the work and not for the fruit. You had your hand up. right. No, okay. Okay, let's continue a little more. There is, as we mentioned, alluded to, an isser of schora, of business with sweet the fruit. If I'm a farmer, I can go to my tree and take down fruit and eat it, but I can't do business with it. So the previous two options that we just mentioned, maker and din, don't have that issue. Because if you assume it does not have kedusha, then it doesn't have kedusha. You're not paying for the fruit. Otzer Beis Din, you're paying for the work. Right? So by those two, there is no problem. There is even, like one of the major, you know, supported by Rav Ariel and others, Otzer Beis Din is called Otzer Haaretz. They even have a website, and you give money to the website, and they send you a card. And on the card, there's a certain amount that you can use every month, which makes it even less transaction-like. Because, like, you paid the money, and it's going to the farmers, and here you just have this card, a credit card, that it's not going to, you're not really paying for the fruit itself. Okay, number 7. I gave you the website there if you want to look it up. 7, Matzah Menutak. What I alluded to before, and that is throughout the country, there are greenhouses, hothouses, where items are grown indoors. Where does this come from? There's a double, among other things, there's a double, two issues that we rely on Lakula to create these greenhouses, fruits and vegetables. What are they? Number one, there is a suffix in the Yerushalmi whether Shemitah applies to plants in your house. Let's say I have a potted plant. Does Shemitah apply to, am I allowed to water my potted plant? Does Shemitah apply to anything in my house? That's a suffix in the Yerushalmi. The Pa'asa Shulchan, Risol Mishlov, Talmud of the Vilna Gaon, says, well, because today, Bizman Azeh Shemitah is Durabanan, I didn't even get into that issue, but that's what 99% of the post can assume, because most Jews do not live in Eretz Yisrael, and even if they do, they're not going to be in their Shvatim areas. So, Shemitah is Durabanan. So because of that, you can be Mekel. That's the Pa'asa Shulchan. Anything indoors, Lekula. There's no Shemitah indoors. So some rely on that, but many are hesitant to just rely on that. Rosh Shlomo Zalman and the Chazon Ish both thought, you can't just rely on that. You need another additional point. And that is something that might have come up in Gemara, the principle of an atzitz. Atzitz nakub and atzitz she'enu nakub. You have a flower pot with a hole in the bottom of it, or without. Throughout Shas, a flower pot, which has a hole in the bottom of it, that's considered connected to the ground. That's like karka. If you pick that up on Shabbos, you're chayav mishum kotzer. But let's say it doesn't. Let's say there's a plate under it. It's an atzitz she'eino nakav. It doesn't have a hole. So that's assumed to be durabanan in most cases. Rabbinically connected, but it's not really. Otherwise, a lot of that connected to the ground. So if you put both of those together, indoors, not connected to the ground, so those together, that's where the Chazon Ish is Mekel, that's where many posts are Mekel, and that's what this whole industry is based on. They grow fruits and vegetables, mostly vegetables, I think. But there's less of them because of Svifin, right? Indoors and raised up. There's mechanisms that cost a ton of money to make these mechanisms of growing indoors and raised up. It's called Matzah Menutak. That's why that would cost more. But again, it does not have to do Shvius. That's the whole way that you're allowed to do it. Right? There are a lot of plants. There's no svichin here because it's not connected to the ground at all. So that is all matzah menutak, and again, a very significant option in terms of a shemitah. That you'll see, again, in the stores, you'll have that a lot of it will be packaged. You know, a lot of the, what we call the gush katif, you know, vegetables, and that is matzah menutak. Yeah?
If you have, like, a vegetable plant or fruit plant or whatever, a potted plant on a balcony.
Yeah, potted, so that's a good question. What about on a balcony? What is called inside? What is called inside? So it seems like you at least need a roof. So let's say you have a merpasa, you have a patio, and you have something over it. So the question is, if you have a roof, do you also need walls? What if you have walls and not a roof? The Chazon Ish is noted to say you need both. So if you have, like, let's say a merpasa, we have a glass raised up, so you have some, like, 10 tafach walls, that's all you would need. 10 tafach walls, that's considered a wall in halacha, and a roof, pasha, that's considered indoors. You have a sukkah there the whole year? So you can't just do it then, right? You can't just do it now. Yeah.
Given the fact that you can't do this with shulchan kodesh,
yeah.
Then I'll split it with my friend.
That's not business. Splitting it through with your friend, you're sharing. Not doing business. You sell if you want to sell it to him.
What's insane? If I buy it, then I sell another time.
No. Well, it depends what. If it's at the mechira, it doesn't have kedusha maker at it. If it's you know, it's your best din, so then you're paying for the service. Well, you pay for the service, he's paying you back. You might have some issues here. You're like going over to like some little thing on the side of the road that's selling through. You don't know where it came from, and it might have kedusha. So that's an issue of dung. That's what I mentioned in the next one, in source number 8, which doesn't come up so much because most stores that you will be shopping in, you know, will not have some fruit that grew on Jewish land. It'll either be from Chutz La'aretz, or it'll be from a non-Jew, or it'll be at the Mechira, or it'll be Osher Bezdin. Or it'll be matzah menutak. It'll be one of those 5 options, but just to have stam fruit, almost every store around that we would, as long as it's a store that has some type of tu'udah, it would be one of these options. If not, then you run into the issues that I talk about in source number 8 in terms of the money that you pay for the fruit also gets kedusha, and it gets a little messy. But again, we're not going to get into those details now. Let me just get 2 or 3 more options, then I'll take the questions. If you see in source number 9, a very serious point, which again, I've gotten a lot of questions about, but again, very important halacha l'maaseh in terms of also being a ben yeshiva. If you go to somebody's house and they are shomrei Torah mitzvos, one does not have to. You can ask in terms of somebody that has kedusha or not. But even if you have a different standard in your own home, that does not mean you don't eat out. Just because, you know, my own behavior generally tries to keep a higher standard. This is a general life halacha also. Friends, let's say every cousin you go to, if you're makana mahajra, when you go out. So when you go to every cousin of yours in a different community, you're going to ask, oh, I only eat mahajra meat? That's not appropriate for me. You know, if I know their shomer Torah mitzvos, I can trust their kashrus. Eidachanem and bisurin. So when it comes to hilchos shmita as well, you know, we have to be makpid on the ben adam lamako, the chaveiro, as much as on the ben adam lamako. And again, if you think that they're not so knowledgeable in halacha, and they don't know a lot of halachas, so then there's a question about their Shabbos too, they get Shemitah. But if you generally know that the Shomer Torah mitzvahs, they're in Eretz Yisrael, they've heard about Shemitah, it's all over the place, you know, so then one can be somich. Yibul Nachri. Right, Yibul Nachri means from non-Jews. So there's Yibul Nachri from Chutz La'aretz, that's generally one level, buying something from Chutz La'aretz. That has a little negative effect on the Israeli economy if everybody's buying from Chutz La'aretz. But the other issue is more serious. Yibul Nachri from here. And that is basically supporting the Arabs. Much of you know how to be supporting the Arabs. And that's a very serious issue. Again, you have to ask the poskim here in Yeshiva what to do. If you have a choice between Yibul Nachri and Heter Mechira, many poskim in the more Haredi world, they would say Yibul Nachri over Heter Mechira. We don't know how the Mechira works, period, whatever, Nevad. Yibul Nachri. And many poskim in other camps would say, what, so the people that are shooting guns at us, you're going to give them money and help their economy? Yibul Nachri, because we're being machmir, even though many poskim say it's okay. So again, you have to ask the poskim in the yeshiva. Again, each side has what to say about it. Rav Rimon is charif about this, both halachically and hashkafically, in terms of what he thinks. And I got the shout out twice today. It hasn't been Shemitah too long. I'm in the store. Do I get Yibul Nachri or do I buy Het HaMechira? So again, Het HaMechira is, you know, the bigger issue is what they did in the field, even if I don't hold it. But once it's done, you know, for the consumer, you know, so that's Me'ikar Adin, even if one's Machmir within a yeshiva, but a consumer, that's a very serious issue. You know, L'maisa, in terms of giving money to the Arabs. Again, if it's in something that you always buy from the Arabs every year anyway, that's one thing. But the Arabs, there's a lot more. And the post-it also talk about, you know, Arabs might say, call it Yibul Nachri, while, how much hashgacha is there? They didn't get this really from a Jewish field, and they're selling it under the guise of Yibul Nachri. So it's very pretty scary area to deal with. You have to know who's the mashgiach on the Yibul Nachri, meaning from the Arabs. But again, once you know that, that will be, have an option too. One last point, and then I'll take the questions. I guess we didn't have time for the Yom Kippur, Shemitah, and other issues. Another time, but I'll leave you with one thought. Beer Perish Shemitah. It really doesn't come up till later. There is a mitzvah in the Torah, part of the mitzvah Shemitah, called Biur. You have to be Mivaer the fruit. When? Chazal interpret a pasuk that whenever there's no longer that fruit out in the field for the animals, then I have to get rid of it out of my house. What does that entail? Most of this comes up next year, not this year. And there are Biur charts for lemons and apples and pomegranates, every fruit, you know. Now the ripening, and when it's no longer on the trees, is different. There's beer charts. It's mamish halacha l'maisa. So, and I remember my first year here, 6+ years ago, Erev Pesach was beer for wine. That was the day. It was the same day as Bir Chazakama, 6 years ago. Erev Pesach. Remember that day. So what did we do? There's a machlokas rishonim. What does beer mean? The Rambam says it means like beer chametz, to destroy it. That's the Rambam shita. We don't paskin that way. Minhag Olam is like the Ramban in Parshas Bahar, who says to be mafkir it. Which means on that Erev Pesach, everybody put all their, if any of their wine had Kedusha Shvius, which by the way I didn't mention before, but also, very important, if you're not allowed to mention to throw it out of Kedusha, you can't use Kedusha Shvius wine for Abdullah. You want to dip your candle. Because what are you going to do with that wine that spills over? So if you can use it for Avdala, you got to drink all of it. You can't spill it, you can't pour. That's why many people don't use it for Avdala. They don't use it for the Seder either. Because, first of all, whose cup doesn't spill over those 2 hours? A little bit even. But every little bit. But also Dam, Sardaya, right? Sticking your finger in the wine. So that's why, be very careful. If you have Shemitah wine and you're using it for Avdala, you got to make sure you drink it all. Can't spill it. The minog of overflow, simon tov, at the beginning of the week, that doesn't override the isra, la'achla v'lo li'ibud. But biur, so what do we do? Getting back to biur. So everybody on the block put their wine bottles out on the sidewalk. They're hefker. And then half an hour later, we came back. We brought them inside. But it's real. Like, I could have taken my neighbors. I'm just not a wine drinker. But it's hefker. You have to put it down for a little while, then you can take it back in. That is the halacha of beer, which really comes up later the following year. So again, these are just some of the major elements. Let's take two or three questions. But again, there's so much more here. This is at least just to be familiar with some of the concepts. Yeah.
Can we define what is the edible?
So that's a good question. It's really part of a shiur. What's considered edible? You know, there are some poskim that say once you've eaten everything that a normal person eats, and what's left is like nobody would eat it, and it's not edible. There are posts that say you put this straight into the garbage. And if it's difficult, let's say you're on a teal, and you have something, there are posts that say this is the right scraps. The question is sometimes scraps have some edible parts to it. But you're right, there are posts that say you can put it in the regular garbage. But lehidur, that's the minhag is for many people that even if it's teals and nobody would really eat it, you put it in the special shemitah. Right, that's a serious. Let's say you have chicken soup with carrots that have, or other vegetables that have kedusha. Seriously, what do? So you got to leave the soup out overnight and then spill it out and then put it in the garbage. But there, I need to separate. But that's again, if you're in the kitchen, you got to know what to do. Yeah.
If it's hot and kedusha
shvius, such as kedusha shvius, that the taste would transfer. L'chara. If you meaning the whole soup has kedusha shvius, you cook the carrots in the soup. The whole soup has kedusha. Yeah.
Is there a problem throwing non-kedusha shvius peels in kedusha shvius?
Throwing non-kedusha shvius peels, yeah, you shouldn't do that. It's like throwing something that's not Seamus into Seamus. I mean, not the same. But tzitzis are not Seamus. That's like a big misconception. Right? I'm saying that will make it grow bad faster. I'm saying if you're doing it al tzchumras, then I think it would be okay. But again, yeah, you're right. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Any Mahadrin Badat Hashgachas has, they generally do not rely on the Hetu Mechira. They generally probably would not rely on the Hetu Mechira. They'll probably do an Otzer Bezdin or Chutz La'aretz or the others. Again, I've heard that, you know, some of these places try not to buy from the Arabs. They'll get Chutz La'aretz stuff, or they'll get Nachri stuff that they buy even from other years. There are some things that we get from the Arabs every year, because that's just who has them. So that's not giving them any more. That's just, so you have to know. Yeah. They're selling, but the Arabs aren't, they're selling, but all the, they have all the produce. They're officially, it's not helping the Arab economy, it's helping our economy. The economy is helped because we get the farmers themselves, some issues, some the workers do, some the farmers do. Yeah.
You said that most of the problem with the Hetu Mechira is what's happening in the field.
Yeah.
So the people that don't trust the Hetu Mechira, what's the problem with the getting the fruits?
So that the problem is if they say the sale didn't work, so first of all, it's Lufne Iver to try to be involved, or Misayel Advar Aveira to be involved, but if the sale didn't work, then the fruits still have Kedusha. And when I get it, and I'm going to pay for it, there's an Isser of Schora, there's an Isser of Lefever. No, that's why it's more of an issue. But Meikar Adin, that's why they wouldn't buy it. In terms of eating it, there's no problem. But in terms of doing business with it, if it has Kedusha, and I'm going to be paying for it, so the money's going to have Kedusha, the fruit. So, but again, like I said, Meikar Adin, many poskim say that it works. Whether it's lachatchila bizman hazeh, that's a separate issue. But does it work? Like if it's already in the store, and my wife sends me out before Shabbos, and she needs this vegetable. Again, it's hard. Sometimes you go to one store, another store, they're out, this one has. So you got to work a little bit during Shemitah.
It's not because of the Shomer V'Neva
Chumra? I don't think so. Shomer V'Neva, maker, I think almost all poskim are maker. I mean, the Talmud's Neva, Shomer is Aser. But unless the part of the issue is that if you do that, then you're supporting that behavior.
Something someone's
house,
there's really nothing for it.
Right. You have to just know whether it has Kedusha or not. If you're machmir to assume it has Kedusha, because the sale didn't work, you have to treat it with Kedusha.
Or if on Chasmishim, if it didn't work.
The Chazar said it doesn't work, and even if it did, right, the Chazar says machmir, even Karka Shalgai. Yeah.
What's the purpose of putting the Shvetzer in the other container?
What's the purpose? Because if you put it in the regular garbage, it's going to go bad faster, and you're just causing it to go bad.
So let's say the Shvetzer container is filled much more than the other.
Right, that's why I said some people empty it every day, every 2 days.
So if you do get out.
By the way, I forgot to mention flowers. So what about buying flowers for Shabbos? The flowers have Kedusha. So flowers that have a scent, that like roses, that's why we're supposed to talk about roses. They have a flower that's made for the scent, that part of its mahus is the scent, that might have Kedusha. Other flowers generally we assume do not have Kedusha.
So
again, the only issue is you have to let it rot and then throw it out. That's for the flowers. Yeah. So that's also similar to the matzah menutak, similar to the hot houses, because it's totally not connected to the ground. It's in water. Yeah. If you have the peels and you're nowhere near a garbage. So again, like, it gets back to it. In certain situations, you're relying on those other posts that say, if nobody will eat this, you know,
you
don't
want to eat the rest of your apple or something.
Right. So in Shemitah, you're trying to eat the rest of your apple. So if it's the core, that's what I said, most people wouldn't eat the core. Most people don't eat orange peels. Okay, just like one more question. I got to, yeah. What's your best? What's your best? Pizza. What about pizza?
Tomato sauce.
Tomato sauce. I don't know. Tomato. There's a separate issue of, is it normal to mush tomatoes into tomato sauce? Is that law, law, below? So, assuming that's okay, assuming they didn't do anything wrong, so it's...
Is there any
degree of
separation? Like, once any pizza has...
No, the kedusha stays. It doesn't. It's only still edible. It stays. Bread? No. What do you mean? Like grain? Because the grain and the the fruits and vegetables.
It's like potato bread.
Potato bread. Okay, potato bread. Okay, on both sides. Everybody should have a Gmar Ksiva Tova and a Chag Sameach.
Sure.